obviously your call if you'd like to start or.
Well, it's 11:35. So I think we probably ought to start because we're going to bump into the board meeting. And if Nicole can jump in, that's fine. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll call the meeting to order and I note the presence of a quorum. And the first item on the agenda is to approve the minutes of the members' meeting held on June 2nd, 2021. Any comments? Denise?
No, I'll move.
So I will have a motion and to approve the minutes. Do I have a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. The agenda items will hear from Kathy Bowman.
Thanks, Harry. So E&Y will present their audit plan. Lou and his team are here to do that. Mary John will present the third quarter financial statements. I won't take away her thunder, but the results continue to be strong. Then Ellen will present the debt and investment report. Mary Hahn will do the credit risk report and the internal audit report. And then I will be presenting HCC's corporate credit card policy.
Thank you. So the E&Y audit plan for fiscal year 2021, presentation by Lou Roberts, Danielle Hurlburt, and Aaron Montgomery.
Thank you, Mr. Gold. First off, I just want to express my sincere condolences to the HDC. I know Rich was more than just a colleague to most of you. I've known him for a long time, and he's had an impact on the city that, it's certainly something that was a tremendous feat by an individual. So I just wanted to start off by expressing my sincere condolences to the HDC family.
Thank you.
And we will certainly be looking out for any memorials that you have for the extended HDC team. As some of you know, last year was my fifth year serving as the lead audit partner. So under the New York State Public Authorities Act, I have to pass the torch to another partner. Danielle will introduce herself, but she is certainly more than capable of serving as the signing partner on the account. She has spent the past 2 to 3 years serving in that capacity for the New York State Housing Finance Agency. So she knows your business quite well. And I am not leaving. I will still serve in an advisory capacity to the team and to HDC. So should there have been any new accounting pronouncements that come out, or if there's anything that you need to reach out to me for, I am here, and I assured Kathy that I'm not going anywhere, and she knows how to reach out to me. So with that, let me pass it on to Danielle. And we also have Erin, who is here. She is a senior manager who was part of the audit team last year. It was her first year serving in that capacity. So when you think about, audit team being stagnant, this TAAA forces a new partner on, and we have a new senior manager who is in her second year. So you're getting the fresh set of eyes while still having the continuity and that ability to leverage our documentation and our experience of working with HDC over the years. So Danielle, I'll turn it over to you.
Great, thanks Lou. Good morning, everybody. Really happy to be here and have the chance to meet everybody virtually. I've had the chance to meet Kathy and a few members of her team virtually, which is great, back over the summer. As Lou and I started this transition process for the audit engagement, but really happy to continue that process and get to meet, a lot more of the HDC folks at this meeting. So thank you for having me. Maybe just a little background on myself. Lou maybe gave you a little bit of my credentials and other clients that I've worked on. But you know, as a little bit of background on myself, I have been with the firm for 18 years, and I am based out of our New York City office, which was previously in Times Square, but we've now relocated to One Manhattan West. So we have a very, very new space in Hudson Yards that we're excited to work out of. And so, you know, I'm also, in addition to being based out of our New York office, I'm a New York City resident. I live in Manhattan. And so, you know, very excited to get involved with this great organization and this great, you know, piece of the city that HDC really is involved in. And so really excited to really join the team and start and kick off for this 2021 audit. So thank you again for having me. So maybe with that, I'll transition a little bit to our audit plan, which you see in front of you, and hopefully have had the chance to review, as I believe it was included in the materials that were sent out prior to the meeting. We'll take a few minutes of your time today to go through this. Certainly, though, if there are any questions as we're going through the document or at the end, you know, please feel free to jump in. Want to make this as interactive as possible if there are any questions along the way. So maybe, like I said, I'll start with the executive summary, which is on page 2 of the document, page 1 of the document. And so you'll see just a little bit of highlights of really what's in the presentation and that we'll speak to. You know, I'll maybe start right on the second column there on the executive summary around sort of the what's new and next that we tried to summarize there. And so the one new thing, and we'll speak about in a little more detail, is there is one accounting standard that HDC intends to adopt in the 2021 financial statements this year. And so that is the GASB 87 leases standard. So something that you've probably been hearing about and talking about for a number of years. And so will be implemented this year in the financial statements. And so I know that Kathy and her team have already started that process of reviewing the leases and the accounting that will really take place in order to adopt that standard. And so we will coordinate and really have already begun to coordinate, you know, with the team around that adoption and really the accounting adoption and then potential financial statement disclosure changes that will have to be made. And so, you know, we really will report kind of a bit more extensively at our audit results discussion. So we'll certainly take the time as we get to that portion of the audit process and communicate back to this committee, walk you through really what the accounting was, what the, as I said, any changes in disclosures that might be required as that standard is adopted.
The only thing I will add is our leases are, it's immaterial. We have 1 year left on the office lease and we have car leases and copier machines. So that's about it. Not much.
Right. Exactly. So hopefully not too extensive and really not a huge change for this agency to the financial statements. Exactly. Thank you, Kathy. So maybe just continue down in that page, just a little summary on, you know, sort of our action items right now. We have started our walkthrough process and our planning process for the audit with the finance team, and so have begun those procedures really just in the last week or two. And we'll continue as we sort of outlined on the far right of the slide there, just a brief sort of timeline to our procedures. So we will work on our interim and planning procedures for the audit throughout October and November. Then really in December and January is where we'll focus on the year-end financial statement audit procedures, with then an expectation to present back to this committee, I believe in late January is the typical timing, and then to be in compliance and issue both the financial statements for the agency, the uniform guidance or single audit grant compliance financial statement, and the USAP financial reporting. So all of those things similar to prior years where we will expect to issue those by that late January date. And then maybe just one other thing to touch on before I'll let Aaron jump in and talk through some of our areas of emphasis, really just to point out our summary around the digital commitment there. So really the third column on that slide. And really just to kind of remind everybody that, you know, prior in the last year's audit, we were in this fully remote environment. And so, you know, did work with the finance team for the agency in a fully remote way. And so we will continue to use what we call our EY Canvas client portal. And so really that's just an online tool that allows the finance team to submit and our audit documentation to us. It's a secure site that is used. And so we will continue to use that. We will continue to use things like Teams or WebEx meetings like this if we are operating in still a fully remote environment. And really, you know, intend to be responsive to what the agency wants, you know, from where we will physically do our audit work. As we started off our procedures, we are at least beginning the work in a fully remote way, but open to, you know, whatever the agency would like. And so we will certainly continue to discuss that with Kathy and her team as we work through the audit process. And then maybe just the last thing to touch on under the digital commitment is around data analytics. And so the firm has, we do have some tools and we do have made some pretty significant investments in our digital audit tools. And so another area where we started to implement some of these things in the prior audit and really looking to expand them this year. And I'll maybe let Aaron just touch on that as she goes through a summary of the procedures. So Aaron, I'll turn it to you.
Thanks, Danielle. Our focus areas are going to be similar this year as prior years, so I'm going to focus on the highlights here. We'll perform walkthroughs and other internal control testing over the key processes that we listed on this slide. We plan to send confirmations for all cash accounts as well as investments where we'll also perform valuation testing procedures. Further, we'll be sending confirmations around the mortgage receivables, and we plan to try to implement some data analytics over these balances. Similarly, we'll confirm the outstanding debt and plan to perform data analytics over the activity during the year and ending balances there. We'll test amounts due to New York City, and plan to perform testing over the amounts payable to mortgagors, including subsequent event procedures. We'll test the loss contingencies in conjunction with our procedures over litigation, and then here's where we'll really see the data analytics come in is with our revenue recognition procedures, where we plan to perform a combination of procedures around the relationship over revenues, receivables, and cash to identify and investigate unusual transactions and really perform targeted testing. Are there any questions over these planned procedures? I'll move to the next slide. Similarly, we're going to try to perform data analytics, analyzing the relationships around expenses, trades payable, and cash to further identify and investigate unusual transactions there. As Danielle mentioned, we'll be performing the single audit procedures, the uniform guidance audit, where we'll be performing testing over the federal programs to test the final expenditures for major programs there. And then further, as Danielle mentioned, we will be testing management's analysis and the implementation of GASB 84 around the lease accounting, and we'll review any financial statement impact, though it sounds, based on the discussion from Kathy, this won't be as much of a lift as GASB 84 was last year. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll pass this back to Danielle.
Excellent. Thanks, Aaron. For going through that summary of those planned procedures. And so, you know, I'll just close out and say, we, you know, didn't intend to touch in detail on the remaining pages of the document. There's a little more summary around our digital audit here on the following page that Aaron brought up. And then included in the appendices are just some of our required communications that we need to communicate to the committee. And finally, our peer review report, which has been provided in the prior year, I believe, but we included again, just so that everybody has that and has seen our latest. And so, you know, as I said, great to meet everybody. Appreciate the time on your agenda today to walk you through the audit plan as we kick off the 2021 audit.
Harry, I think you're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. Because this says mute. thank you, E&Y. And the next item is the corporation's third quarter financial statements.
Yes, thank you, Harry. Good morning, everyone.
Harry Hunt, John.
Okay. Thank you, Harry. The third quarter financials of fiscal year 2021 covers the period November 1, 2020 through July 31st, 2021. At the end of the third quarter, the corporation's net income was $201.7 million, up from $193.7 million, or 3.96% increase compared to the same period last year. The increase was primarily due to higher revenues from interest income and loan-related fees. However, this increase was offset by a 64.9% decrease in earnings on investment as a result of the low interest rate environment. Total assets were $24.2 billion, an increase of $2.2 billion, or 9.9% from fiscal year end 2020. The increase was due to the corporation's mortgage lending activities, as mortgage advances as of the third quarter was in excess of $2.4 billion. HDC's mortgage loan portfolio, which comprised of 76.9% of total assets, has performed well. Delinquency rates have remained below 1% of monthly billings. Total liabilities were at $20.5 billion, an increase of $2 billion, or 10.7% from fiscal year end 2020. There was a net increase in bonds payable of $1.4 billion. Bond issuances as of the third quarter was $2.3 billion, offset by $959 million in principal repayments. Net position was at $3.5 billion, an increase of $201.7 million, or a 9.3% increase from fiscal year end 2020. The increase was generated from operating revenues of $504 million, operating expenses of $328.9 million, and non-operating revenues of $26.4 million, primarily from investment income. This concludes my remarks. More detailed information is included in the audit committee package. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
No questions here, Harry.
You're on mute again, Harry.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't touch anything. yeah, it's another good year. And as I said, I used to say to Rich, time to go public. the debt report is the next item, Ellen Duffy.
Hey, thank you. The corporation's debt report is as of August 31st, 2021. The last debt report presented to the audit committee was as of April 30th, 2021. During this time, we've been busy, the corporation issued four series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $640 million. In addition, 14 series of open resolution LIBOR index floating rate bonds in the amount of $646.5 million were tendered and remarketed as SOFR index floating rate bonds into one consolidated series of bonds. There are bond redemptions and 11 series of open resolution bonds, the amount of $181.9 million, one series of multifamily secured revenue bonds in the amount of $39.8 million, and three standalone bond series in the amount of $29.1 million. The corporation's debt outstanding as of August 31st, 2021 is approximately $14.26 billion. The corporation's statutory debt capacity is $15.5 billion. The bill to increase the corporation's debt limit to $17 billion has been approved by the New York State Legislature. It has been submitted to the governor for signature. Any questions?
Any prospective date as to when she will sign?
It's in the queue. and we keep checking on it. And there's a bunch of bills that she needs to sign, but we are optimistic she'll be signing them soon. But I don't know, unless Eric, have you heard anything updated?
No, but this is a typical kind of dance or process, so we have no reason to believe it won't happen, but we kind of we watch and monitor, as Ellen said.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, there being none, the investment report again, Ellen Duffy.
Thank you. The corporation investment report is as of September 20th, 2021. The funds under management total approximately $5.995 billion. And this report reflects routine investment activity. Questions?
There being none?
Nope.
The next item is a report on the HGC credit risk exposure. Mary Hunt.
Morning, thank you. The report before you is dated August 31st, 2021, and the previous report to the audit committee was dated April 30th, 2021. There were no rating agency actions of note, and there were no new approved counterparties. Our counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures continuing to be with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Investments rated AA or higher were 52% of total investments versus 48% at the last report. And investments rated BBB or not rated were 27% of total investments versus 32% at the last report. And these investments are fully collateralized by high quality US Treasury or agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. HGC's exposure to liquidity providers was $390.9 million, up from $348.8 million at the last report. Since the last report, HGC added a $100 million Barclays bank line for the 2021 Series F3 bonds, while the $57.69 million Wells Fargo line expired with the redemption of the 2017 Series C4 bonds. Any questions?
Any questions, Denise?
No, I don't have any.
No questions.
Okay, Mary, you're next, the internal audit report.
Thank you. Since the last report to the audit committee, two internal audits were completed, and a copy of each report is in your package. The first audit we completed was the Reserve for Replacement, or R4R audit. Our primary objectives there were to determine the adequacy and effectiveness of control over the R4R process, to determine compliance with the R4R request for payment guidelines and the payment disbursement process, and ensuring that relevant documentation is saved in the project folders, to determine if the R4R process is properly tracked and monitored by the department head, and to determine the accuracy of the R4R payment amount and ensure the payment was accurately recorded in the general ledger. Upon completion of the audit, we noted no matters involving internal controls that we considered material weakness. We found that key aspects of the R4R guidelines were followed and that project requests for reimbursement were properly submitted, documented, and accurately recorded in the project GL accounts. While guidelines for processing R4R requests exist, we recommended that a checklist be developed to help guide the process and that staff training be enhanced to ensure consistent application of the R4R process. Management has indicated that they have begun to work on implementing these recommendations. The second audit we completed was the portfolio inspections audit. Our primary objectives there were to determine compliance with the corporation's policies and procedures relating to the timely completion of required annual physical inspections, or APIs, for projects financed by HDC, to assess the accuracy of the portfolio of properties required for inspections, and to evaluate completeness of the engineer's APIs for properties reviewed as part of the audit. Upon completion of the audit, we noted no matters involving internal controls that we considered material weakness. APIs that were reviewed as part of the audit were properly assigned and performed on a timely basis. While guidelines exist for property inspections, we recommend development of a comprehensive policy and procedure document that provides guidance to staff on their responsibilities and establishes criteria for when an API is or is not required. Management is in agreement with this recommendation and will work to assemble this document in the near term. Any questions on either of the audits?
Any questions?
No questions.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the next item is an item for approval on the corporate credit card policy, Kathy Bauman.
Thanks, Harry. The corporation is seeking the members' approval of the adoption of a corporate credit card policy. The main purpose of the policy is to eliminate the financial burden on HDC staff who currently use their personal credit cards during HDC business-related travel. As described in the attached corporate credit card policy, attachment A in your packet, significant controls will be in place to ensure the proper use of the corporate credit card. HTC will designate a small number of executives and two executive assistants to have the credit card information. HTC's proposed credit card policy is in compliance with the New York City Department of Investigation citywide recommendations regarding credit cards distributed to agencies on March 20th, 2018. Since the adoption by the HTC board of policies and procedures recommendation memo in 2003 that addressed certain policy and procedural changes designed to assure oversight of the expenditures of the corporation, corporation's internal audit department has annually audited petty cash, personal expense reimbursements, and the president's office expenses. Internal audit findings in the years subsequent to the adoption of the policies and procedures recommendations have been clean, and one of the recommendations in recent years has been to institute a corporate credit card policy to enhance transparency and oversight of employee expenses. Upon approval of the HTC's corporate credit card policy by the audit committee members, it will be presented to the full HTC board for ratification. Please note that the upcoming officer promotions and appointments, the new titles will be reflected in the policy. If any changes to the corporate credit card policy are deemed necessary in the future, HTC staff will bring those changes to the audit committee. If there are any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. And if there aren't any questions, then the members are asked to approve the adoption of HTC's corporate credit card policy.
Okay, there being no questions, do I have a motion to approve this policy?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. Are there any other business? There being none.
This is Kyle. I just want to apologize for being late.
Okay.
As a business item.
Okay. There's no other business. I would like to call for a motion to adjourn since it's now 11 o'clock.
I move second. For adjournment.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? No. The motion carries. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.